Few actors are as well-known or influential as Charlie Chaplin. But have you ever seen one of his films? In Modern Times, from 1936, he works an assembly line and hilarity ensues. In The Kid, from 1921, there's a pretty spectacular fight scene. Hilarity ensues. In 1928's The Lion Cage, he gets stuck in a cage with, you guessed it, a lion. And yeah, more hilarity. Charlie Chaplin is the most iconic actor from the silent movie era, making more than 80 films in his lifetime. And Harold Cranick not only watches those movies, but studies them, because for about a decade, he's been playing Charlie Chaplin here in Traverse City. We'll hear about him this week on the Up North Lowdown from Interlochen Public Radio. I'm Max Copeland. That story about Harold Cranick after we talk about some of the week's big stories here in northern Michigan, including a step forward for a small town with a big need for more housing. But first, we're starting in Traverse City, where an enormous construction project is posing some challenges for local businesses. IPR's Tyler Thompson takes us to where the road used to be.
US 31 is a main thoroughfare through Traverse City, but now it's a one-lane road. The sidewalks and pavement are gone, workers are jackhammering and bobcatting through the first phase of a project to rebuild 2 miles of the highway. Blue Goat Wine and Provisions sits at the fork of 31 and Peninsula Drive. The shop has a front row view of the construction. Cody Mendenhall is the general manager. She says when crews started to bust up the road and sidewalk, the 150-year-old building suffered some foundational damage.
There were some cracks looking up at the ceiling, kind of leading to the outside. It seems as though the foundation and the sidewalk at some point had kind of melded together, so with the removal of that, we did see a little bit of a shift in the building.
She says crews from Elmer's Construction stepped up right away to address it. They put a brace on a protruding wall in the basement to prevent further damage. Some permanent repairs are also in the works, and the business remains open. She says owners have been in contact with the Michigan Department of Transportation and Elmer's regularly. MDOT has made themselves available for all businesses around the construction. James Lake is a communications rep for the state.
You know, we've made our contact information, our contractors' contact information, available to all of these businesses. And I know that we've had a lot of contact with updates and answering questions.
MDOT also maintains a website with updated information about the project with maps and details. It's also sharing materials with the city and the downtown authority to distribute to the public.
We're doing 10 till 5:30.
Inside Wild Birds Unlimited, a store that sells bird feeders and supplies. Manager Tree Chitwood is on the phone explaining that they're still open.
We're getting a lot of that too. People calling saying, are you still there? What are your hours?
Yeah.
So can we still get there?
The store is inside a strip mall of restaurants, shops, and a bank. It takes a detour to get there from the west side, but from the east, the plaza is still accessible from the front, which has confused some folks.
I know Bubby's Bagels has been putting up signs. We've got some signs that are going to be put out for just that campus plaza businesses are open. Third Coast has been willing to put up signage for us pretty much up and down, just to let people know, even though it says the road is closed through traffic, doesn't mean the businesses are closed.
But despite some of the obstacles to reach these businesses, concerns about slower business have waned thanks to community support. Chitwood says they've had new customers show up due to the project.
We're very blessed. We've got phones are ringing off the wall. We put out an email saying that we are going to up our deliveries. We've also had a lot of people come in the store that have heard about the dilemma with the construction and have never been here before. And so they're coming over to support us. So we're really grateful for that.
Back at Blue Goat, Cody Mendenhall says more people have come in to support their business too.
Some people are like, actually, I don't even really need any wine right now, but I'm gonna buy a couple bottles just to be there for you. And every single little bit makes a difference. It all adds up.
Other businesses are less optimistic. Benjamin Twiggs, a store that sells cherry merchandise in the same strip mall as Wild Birds Unlimited, said, quote, this is not normal, and we cannot survive 3 months of this, calling for community support. James Lake with MDOT says it was a careful decision to start this phase of the project before summer when Traverse City swells with tourists.
We've been fortunate this year We knew that when we scheduled the start of construction for this project in mid-March, that was with our fingers crossed, knowing that winter weather could still be hanging on significantly at this point.
But a warmer winter this year gave crews more cushion as they move forward for the next phase of the project. Meanwhile, businesses are preparing for future challenges, but appreciate folks coming out to support them now. Again, Cody Mendenhall.
It's really heartwarming because that's one of the things I love about Traverse City is the local community. And just to have that proof that we're listening, we care, we're here for you.
This work is expected to last a few months and then shift in the summer to the section of highway between downtown Traverse City and West Grand Traverse Bay.
That's IPR's Tyler Thompson, near downtown Traverse City. At the end of Lake Charlevoix that doesn't have, well, the city of Charlevoix, you'll find Boyne City. About 3,800 people live there. The downtown has nice shops, restaurants, and microbreweries, and a nice waterfront park. And soon, downtown Boyne City could have more apartments. The city's planning commission heard a proposal this past week from nonprofit developer Michigan Community Capital. It's hoping to put up two buildings, which would bring in 81 new apartments. Aaron Place is the chairman of the Planning Commission.
I do have a feeling that if you don't take opportunities like this, then they're just never going to come. And Boyne City is going to continue to have a housing problem. Then we're going to have a public health problem because we won't be able to hire police or EMS because they can't live here.
And yes, some residents had concerns, like whether downtown parking will be affected or whether the units will be affordable in a place where housing prices continue to rise. This developer sets the range of prices based on median income for the community. In Boyne City, it's around 60 grand. So most of the units of the two buildings would be affordable to someone who makes between $36,000 and $72,000 a year. City residents like Steve Schnell say they have been impressed with how the developer has worked with the community.
I don't think that anything needs to be changed here. It meets the zoning ordinance. You have the flexibility to accommodate their needs. The city has a parking lot here that can become housing. That's an obvious trade to me. And I've never seen a developer be this responsive to the public.
According to data from the nonprofit Housing North, Charlevoix County needs nearly 730 more rental units to keep up with population growth. Whether Boyne City will take a bite out of that number is up to the city council and the planning commission. The Up North Lowdown returns in a moment.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Adrian Ma from NPR's The Indicator from Planet Money podcast. I'm one of thousands of voices you'll hear on the NPR network, coming to you from over 200 local newsrooms across the country. We bring Americans together through independent journalism, music, stories about politics, culture, and more. The NPR network. What you hear changes everything. Learn more at npr.org/network.
Welcome back to The Lowdown. I'm Max Copeland. We're going to spend some time now with performer Harold Cranick. For more than a decade, Harold has been playing the role of Charlie Chaplin. On and off, to be clear, he doesn't just walk around dressed like Chaplin all day. He does some street performances and plays Chaplin at events, most notably the former week-long Summer Traverse City Film Festival before it shifted gears last year. One of the challenges to street art is knowing whether you're any good. And as contributor Max Howard tells us, Harold Cranick had a chance to take the ultimate test of his abilities.
If you've been to the Traverse City Film Festival, there's a good chance you ran into Harold Cranick. But you may not have recognized him.
When it's time for me to perform as Charlie Chaplin, I do shave completely, and I have a fake stick on.
Yeah.
Actually, you use spirit gum to glue on the adhesive mustache. I have a wig, and I try to look exactly like him.
Harold even has replicas of Chaplin's size 14 shoes.
I had a company made them. I have the big baggy pants, the vest, the jacket that we actually tailored to make it look like exactly like his.
Harold started performing in 2007 after a trip to Italy with his family. During a visit to Venice, Harold stopped to watch a street performer playing Charlie Chaplin when his father took him aside.
And he looked at me and he's like, "You should do that." And I was 14 at the time, and I'm like, no way, Dad, I can't do that. I'm going to get in trouble. And he's like, no, just dress up. And we got home, and I thought more about it, and I'm like, you know what? Yeah, I should do this. And got the costumes, and over the years have honed the skills and brought the character more and more around TC. And, you know, 16 years later, I'm still doing it.
Harold says he loves to entertain a crowd on a hot August day and make people laugh.
And even if it's for 3 to 20 seconds, I did my job.
But on one occasion, the stakes were much higher, when Harold met Charlie Chaplin's daughter, Geraldine Ford.
It was 2015, and I think it was like a year or two before, I'm telling my mom, geez, wouldn't that be cool if Chaplin came to Traverse City? You know, not going to happen. Well, then I find out. And the film festival, they were like, okay, Harold, she wants to meet you. And I'm like, oh my gosh. I'm like, ugh. So I get that call saying, hey, Geraldine Chaplin wants to meet you at the Opera House. You have 20 minutes to get ready. And I'm like, you gotta be kidding me.
Harold rushed over and made it to the Opera House in time. Security ushered him through and into a back room.
She comes in through the door and we lock eyes. And I internally, I'm freaking out because I'm like, holy smokes, this is the chat, like his daughter. And she walks up to me and she kind of just looks into my soul. And I look into hers and I can see her dad. I see Charlie in her eyes. And the first thing she said is she said, you have brown eyes. I do. And she said, well, my dad had blue eyes. And I'm like, I know. And then she kind of steps back and then places her hands on my face and just looks at me even more. And then I don't know if she meant to say this or if she just kind of came out, but she then looked at me and took a step back again and said, Papa, I've missed you so much. And having her say that, just like tears rolled. Like I wanted to start crying, but having her say, Dad, I missed you. I missed you. And I'm like, okay, that's a good sign because I look like him. Good. And she's like, all right, now for the test. And I'm like, what's that? Let's see what you got.
Harold performed for Geraldine, and he got some unexpected praise.
She says, you know, for a male, you are one of the best performers I've ever seen. And I'm like, really? And she's like, yeah, mostly female can perform my dad better because of the hips, the mobility. And she's like, no, you got it down. And that was, I just couldn't believe it. Like, holy smokes, here she is saying, yeah, keep up the good work, basically.
His next goal is to get blue contacts.
Contributor Max Howard. Let's find out what else is in the news this week. Who will decide a dispute between Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel and Enbridge Energy over the continued operation of Line 5? Will it be in state or federal court? Some federal appeals judges are expected to decide where the case goes after hearing arguments this week. Line 5 carries crude oil beneath the Straits of Mackinac, and Nessel says it poses a big environmental risk to Michigan and wants the case in state court. An Enbridge spokesperson says the case belongs in federal court because it touches on international questions between the U.S. and Canada. Enbridge is among IPR's financial supporters, but editorial decisions are made independently by our newsroom. Surrogacy agreements in Michigan could now be legally enforceable contracts under bills on the way to Governor Gretchen Whitmer. A set of measures adopted by the state Senate this week would replace Michigan's 1988 state law, which makes paying a woman to carry a pregnancy a crime. The new legislation would streamline the path for couples to make surrogacy agreements. The bills passed the Senate on mostly party-line votes, and Whitmer has indicated she will sign the legislation into law. Cherry Capital Airport announced nonstop service this summer between Traverse City and New Haven, Connecticut. The flights will be on Avelo Airlines and run seasonally from mid-June until Labor Day. The airport's ever-growing schedule, by the way, is the tension point in a fight between airport officials and the National Cherry Festival. The airport is concerned about the number of flights it has to cancel to accommodate the festival's annual air show. Festival organizers have resisted attempts by the airport to change the way the air show is run. Both sides agree that the show must go on, even if they don't agree on how. And with that, let's start our initial descent to the end of the episode. Before we go, we should tell you we had contributions this week from Tyler Thompson, Michael Livingston, and Max Howard. Our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. This show is produced by me, Max Copeland, and edited by Ed Ronco. We like to leave you with a sound we call our sonic send-off. This week, it's one more little visit to that construction zone in downtown Traverse City. Have a good week, thanks for listening, and follow signs for the detour.
On Gameplay this week, music composed for a variety of racing video games, from realistic driving simulations to lighthearted titles where half the fun is knocking your friends off the track with a turtle shell. Music from racing games this week on Gameplay. I'm Keith Brown. Join me. You can stream full episodes of Gameplay on demand and view playlists at gameplayshow.org.